Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. The Vatican says Pope Francis got some work done at a Rome hospital this morning. The AP's Charles Della Desma reports this is the Pope's 11th day at Gemelli Hospital.
Pope Francis is continuing his recovery from pneumonia as the Vatican sets in motion a nightly marathon of prayers, and allies cheer him on from afar in hopes he will recover and get back to leading the Catholic Church. Through the night, the faithful held a somber recitation of the Rosary Prayer in St. Peter's Square, a vigil that evokes the ones held in the same place when St. John Paul II was dying. I'm Charles Deledesma.
Elon Musk went on his social media site X to threaten to fire more government workers if his Department of Government Efficiency doesn't receive bullet points from them about what they did on the job last week. The threat came after the Office of Personnel Management directed agencies that responses to its email were optional. President Trump is backing Musk.
We have found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud so far, and we've just started. We're actually going to Fort Knox to see if the gold is there, because maybe somebody stole the gold. Tons of gold.
Elon Musk said on X, federal workers hate even the tiniest amount of accountability. Votes are expected in the House tonight on a Republican budget blueprint. President Trump has called it a big, beautiful bill with $4.5 trillion in tax breaks and $2 trillion in spending cuts. A magnitude 5.9 earthquake struck near the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. No damage has been reported and no tsunami warning was issued. A search has ended in New York. Three people died. A fourth person is presumed dead after a boat sank off the coast of New York City. Two others are hospitalized. This is AP News. Fabric retailer Joann is going out of business after more than 80 years.
And shuttering all locations in 49 states. That includes stores that dodged an earlier round of closings. The company cited sluggish consumer demand and inventory shortages. In January, the Ohio-based retailer filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy for the second time in a year. Financial services company GA Group, along with Joann's lenders, were selected as the winning bidders in an auction to acquire the company's assets and will begin winding down operations. The company says their website, Joann.com, and the mobile app will stay open as they conduct going-out-of-business sales. The stores were beloved by crafters, knitters, and parents looking for last-minute supplies for school projects. I'm Jennifer King.
Apple shareholders are expected to reject an attempt to pressure the company into scrapping its corporate programs designed to diversify the workforce. Some high-profile companies have retreated from diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says he doesn't believe the top lawyers for the military services are well-suited to provide recommendations when lawful orders are given, and so he's replacing them. The removals came without any specified reasons in terms of the officer's conduct.
It's not about roadblocks to an agenda. It's roadblocks to orders that are given by a commander-in-chief.
The move follows the firings of Joint Chiefs Chairman Air Force General C.Q. Brown Jr., the Navy Chief of Operations, the Air Force Vice Chief, and the Judge Advocate General for the services.
We didn't think those particular positions were well suited, and so we're looking for the best.
Hegseth refused to answer a question Monday about why the Trump administration has selected a retired general to be the next Joint Chiefs Chairman when he doesn't meet the legal qualifications for the job. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Federal workers are suing over Elon Musk's weekend threat to fire them if they don't explain their accomplishments. The suit is aimed at trying to block mass layoffs, including any related to the email sent by the federal government's personnel management office over the weekend, saying employees needed to detail five things they did last week. The email followed a social media demand from Musk, who said a refusal to respond would be taken as a resignation. The suit says that violates federal law. Musk has been echoing President Trump's claims that remote workers don't actually work.
Nobody's going to work from home. They're going to be going out, they're going to play tennis, they're going to play golf, they're going to do a lot of things. They're not working.
Still, many key agencies led by the president's loyalists told workers not to respond to the email. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Barely a week after mass firings at the Food and Drug Administration, some probationary staffers received unexpected news over the weekend. The government wants them back. Beginning Friday night, FDA employees overseeing medical devices and other key areas received calls and emails notifying them that their recent terminations had been rescinded effective immediately. The reversal is the latest example of President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's chaotic approach to cost-cutting, which has resulted in several agencies firing and then scrambling to rehire employees responsible for nuclear weapons, national parks, and other government services. In a dramatic shift in transatlantic relations under President Donald Trump, the United States has split with its European allies by refusing to blame Russia for its invasion of Ukraine in votes on three UN resolutions seeking an end to the three-year Russian-Ukraine war. In the UN General Assembly, the U.S. joined Russia in voting against a European-backed Ukrainian resolution that calls out Moscow's aggression and demands an immediate withdrawal of Russian troops. The U.S. then abstained from voting on its own competing resolution after Europeans, led by France, succeeded in amending it to make clear that Russia was the aggressor by adding language that says that the conflict was the result of a full-scale invasion of Ukraine by the Russian Federation. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump says he's hopeful Russia's war in Ukraine is nearing an end.
What a mess. What a horrible, bloody mess.
On the Russian invasion's third anniversary, the president hosted French counterpart Emmanuel Macron, saying the war could end soon.
Within weeks.
And he thinks Russia's Vladimir Putin would accept European peacekeepers in Ukraine.
He's not looking for more war. He doesn't mind. But I've specifically asked him that question. He has no problem with it.
No, on some.
Putin says European nations could be part of a peace deal, but he hasn't discussed ending the war in any detail with the president, who has upended years of American diplomacy by engaging with Putin.
This peace must not mean a surrender of Ukraine.
Through an interpreter, Macron warned any deal cannot simply give in to Russia, and then in English said a deal must have guarantees.
Which can be assessed. Checked and verified.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A federal judge has refused to issue an immediate restraining order that would compel the White House to restore the Associated Press's access to presidential events. The AP's been barred from the Oval Office, Air Force One, and other areas for not entirely following President Trump's executive order renaming the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America, Trump saying last week.
I don't know what they're doing, but I just say that we're going to keep them out until such time as they agree that it's the Gulf of America. We're very proud of this country, and we want it to be the Gulf of America.
Last month, the AP said it's sticking to the Gulf of Mexico because its audience is global and the waters are not only in U.S. territory. However, it is acknowledging Trump's renaming as well. The judge says AP's not shown it suffered irreparable harm to warrant a restraining order, telling attorneys the issue requires more exploration. But he's also urged the administration to reconsider, saying case law is uniformly unhelpful to the White House. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The Ohio governor's race is heating up with biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy jumping into the 2026 race. Republican Governor Mike DeWine is term limited. The Cincinnati-born former presidential candidate joins the Republican primary field a month after the former lieutenant governor John Husted was appointed to fill Vice President J.D. Vance's Senate seat. Husted's backers will be looking to switch their allegiance. Other Republican candidates include Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost and Heather Hill, a black entrepreneur from Appalachia. On the Democratic side is Dr. Amy Acton, the former state health director. Ramaswamy has been promoting his ties to President Trump, but dropped out of the Department of Government Efficiency Initiative on Trump's first day. He's received endorsements from Ohio's treasurer and secretary of state. I'm Jennifer King.
Although few may recognize his name, the footage of Secret Service agent Clint Hill, captured on a chilling home movie of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas on November 22, 1963, provided some of the most vivid images of Kennedy's assassination. Hill was assigned to protect First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy and was writing on the running board of the follow-up card directly behind the presidential limousine. Hill told the Warren Commission that he reacted after hearing a shot and seeing Kennedy slumped in his seat. Kennedy was struck by a fatal headshot before Hill was able to make it to the limousine. Hill received Secret Service awards and was promoted for his actions that day, but for decades blamed himself for Kennedy's death, saying he didn't react quickly enough and would gladly have given his life to save the president. Hill was 93. I'm Lisa Dwyer. Killing me softly
with his song. Singer Roberta Flack's hits like Killing Me Softly with His Song and The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face made her one of the top recording artists of the 1970s and an influential performer long after. She died Monday at 88 at home surrounded by family, says her publicist. The first time. The classically trained pianist won back-to-back Grammys for both songs in the 70s. A gospel fan as a child, she was so talented a piano player at age 15, she received a full scholarship to Howard University. In 2022, Flack announced she had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and could no longer sing. I'm Julie Walker.
Officials say the thefts are from freight trains running through the deserts of California and Arizona. Many of the stolen sneakers haven't even hit the retail market. According to a federal court complaint, on January 13th, suspects targeted a freight train in a remote area of Arizona. They made off with more than 1,900 pairs of unreleased Nikes worth more than $440,000. The Los Angeles Times reports that's one of at least 10 thefts targeting trains in remote areas of the Mojave Desert since last March. 11 people have been charged. All have pleaded not guilty. Court records indicate 10 are Mexicans who were in the United States illegally. I'm Mike Kempen.
Violence against healthcare workers has been on the rise. On Saturday, a gunman took hostages at a York, Pennsylvania hospital, exchanging gunfire with police and killing an officer before being shot and killed. Police say the 49-year-old shooter, Diogenes Archangel Ortiz, had been in contact with the hospital about a medical issue involving someone else. Nurses across the country have been reporting an increase in harassment from the public. Last year, a man shot two correction officers at an Idaho hospital. In 2023, there were at least two instances of shootings at hospitals that killed people. I'm Julie Walker.
Apple plans to invest more than $500 billion in the United States over the next 4 years. That includes plans to hire 20,000 people and build a new server factory in Texas. The move comes just days after President Donald Trump said Apple CEO Tim Cook promised him that the tech giant's manufacturing would shift from Mexico to the U.S. Trump noted the company was doing so to avoid paying tariffs. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Starbucks is laying off more than 1,000 corporate workers. Starbucks baristas, roasting, and warehouse staff are not included in the layoffs. New CEO Brian Nichols says the size and structure of the corporate workforce at Starbucks has too many layers and slows communications. Nichols was brought in to streamline operations. He says workers getting laid off will be told in the next day or so. Starbucks hired Nichols last fall to turn around sluggish sales. He has said he wants to improve service times, especially during the morning rush, and reestablish stores as community gathering places. Items are being cut from the menu, and Starbucks is experimenting with its ordering algorithms to better handle its mix of mobile, drive-through, and in-store orders. I'm Ed Donahue.
The food delivery app, DoorDash, will pay almost $17 million to settle claims that it unfairly used customer tips to subsidize the wages of its delivery workers in New York, rather than let drivers keep the tips on top of their guaranteed pay. Attorney General Letitia James says that DoorDash also did not make it clear to customers that their tips were being used to offset worker wages. James says the company used the wage model between May 2017 and September 2019. DoorDash says it's happy to resolve the suit, but believes that DoorDash properly represented how Dashers were paid at that time, but noted that the old pay model is no longer in use. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Damian Troisi, and this is the AP Markets Report. U.S. stocks drifted lower Monday following their sharp losses from last week. The S&P 500 fell 0.5%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 1.2%. NVIDIA fell ahead of its profit report coming later this week. It was the heaviest weight on the market. Big U.S. companies have broadly been reporting better profits for the last 3 months of 2024 than analysts expected. Other big profit reports due this week include Home Depot and Salesforce. Wall Street will also get updates this week on consumer confidence and inflation. Damian Troisi, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. 76ers center Joel Embiid was sidelined for Monday's game against Chicago with an injured left knee. The former NBA MVP underwent testing on Monday, and more exams were scheduled for this week. Auburn remained atop the AP Top 25 for the seventh straight week, while preseason number one Kansas fell out of the men's basketball poll entirely for the first time since February 2021. That ended a streak of 80 consecutive ranked weeks for the Jayhawks. The Tigers were a unanimous number one and were followed by Duke, Florida, Houston, and Tennessee in the top five. In the women's poll, Texas moved up to number one for the first time in 21 years after Notre Dame lost in overtime to NC State. UCLA, Notre Dame, USC, and UConn round out the top five. Lawrence J. Dolan, owner of Cleveland's Major League Baseball team since 2000, has died at the age of 94. The Cleveland Guardians put out a statement Monday saying Dolan died Sunday night of natural causes. The Cleveland native purchased the team from Richard Jacobs in 2000 for $320 million. The franchise was known as the Indians before changing its name after the 2021 season. Over the past 24 seasons, Cleveland has won seven American League Central Division titles, made nine postseason appearances, and appeared in the 2016 World Series. Mets starter Sean Manaea is expected to begin the season on the injured list because of a right oblique strain. An assistant coach for the Denver Broncos is facing a felony assault charge after being accused of punching a police officer in the face at the Denver International Airport. Outside linebackers coach Michael Wilhoit was arrested on suspicion of second-degree assault on a police officer and booked into the Denver jail on Sunday, according to jail records. A judge set a $5,000 bond on Monday. The 38-year-old Wilhoit joined the Broncos coaching staff in 2023 after previously working for head coach Sean Payton in New Orleans. And an unidentified team has proposed banning the tush push used so successfully by the Super Bowl champion Eagles. Geffen Coolbaugh, AP Sports.
A Chinese state broadcaster has reported that China's President Xi Jinping has held a phone call with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin. President Xi reportedly said he was pleased with Moscow's efforts to hold a summit with the U.S. toward ending the war in Ukraine. The Kremlin said the Chinese side expressed support for the dialogue between Russia and the US and said it is prepared to assist to peacefully resolve the conflict. Xi also reiterated China's stance, which includes a Friends of Peace group established last September with several other countries to promote efforts to end the war. Their call came as a dozen leaders from Europe and Canada visited Ukraine's capital to mark the third anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion and show their support for Kyiv. The late leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah group, who was killed in an Israeli airstrike days after he took the post, has been laid to rest. The funeral was held in his southern hometown a day after his cousin and predecessor was buried in Beirut. Hashem Safieddine was killed in early October in a series of Israeli strikes in a southern suburb of Beirut at the height of the Israel-Hezbollah war. He was killed days after his cousin and predecessor Hassan Nasrallah was killed in airstrikes south of the capital. After Nasrallah's death on September 27, Safieddine was secretly named Hezbollah's Secretary General but was killed just days later. Thousands of people marched behind Safieddine's coffin that was draped with Hezbollah's yellow flag while his black turban was placed on top. Four Israeli warplanes flew at low altitude twice during the funeral in Beirut, once when the coffins were brought into the stadium where the funeral was held, and a second time when Hezbollah's current leader Naim Qassem was giving a speech. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
The interval between the onset of the illness and death has been just 48 hours in the majority of cases. And that's what's really worrying, a medical director from a regional monitoring centre tells the AP. The latest outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo began on January 21, and over 400 cases have been recorded, including 53 deaths. There has long been concerns about diseases jumping from animals to humans in places where wild animals are popularly eaten. The number of such outbreaks in Africa has surged by more than 60% in the last decade, the WHO said in 2022. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A hard-right British politician has been charged with accepting bribes to make favourable statements about Russia in the European Parliament. Nathan Gill appeared in a London court and did not enter a plea to 8 counts of bribery and 1 count of conspiracy to commit bribery. The 52-year-old is a former member of the European Union legislature who also led the Reform UK party in Wales. Prosecutors say he was tasked by former Ukrainian politician Oleg Voloshin on at least 8 occasions to make statements in return for money. They say Gill made statements in the European Parliament and in opinion pieces to news outlets which would benefit Russia regarding events in Ukraine. The offences are alleged to have taken place between 2018 and 2020. Gill was stopped at Manchester Airport in September 2021 under British counter-terrorism laws and after an investigation was charged last week. He's now been released on bail until his next court appearance on March 14. Germany faces its second change of leader in fewer than 4 years after the head of the centre-right opposition Friedrich Merz won Sunday's election. The results saw a surge for a far-right party and a stinging defeat for outgoing Chancellor Olaf Scholz, shaking the country's political core. After the collapse of Scholz's three-party government in November, it's now up to Merz to restore stability to the European Union's biggest economy. But his first challenge will be forming a coalition, a potentially complicated task as mainstream parties remain firm on isolating the far right. That's despite Alice Weidel's Alternative for Germany surging to the best showing by a far right party since World War II, becoming the strongest political force in parts of the country. But Sunday's second place finish cemented AfD's status as a factor that other politicians can't ignore. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.